welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on a lot of variety of media. We'll explain that later. I'm Kat.
Joe, did you mean radio?
And podcast and website and some people, I don't know.
So we're moving on up.
Read it to other people when they're walking down the street. I'm Kat.
I'm Joe.
Good day, sunshine.
You finally, after 1,000 years, acknowledged me as your sunshine?
You are. You are my sunshine.
You are my sunshine.
Not my only sunshine, but, you know.
One of my 1,000 sunshines. You make me happy. Well, okay. So,
hi.
When you say good morning, sunshine, that normally equates to me that you want something.
Oh, no. I want you to guess what the theme is today.
See, you want something.
Okay. Guilty. So here's my trivia question for you.
Okay.
This is from Neetorama.
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 All right.
I think it's spelled, yeah. What album cover did Mae West and Shirley Temple almost not appear on?
You know, that's something I don't know.
Other Cat probably knows. She knows everything. No. Mae West didn't immediately allow the Beatles to use her image on the iconic Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album cover, but she changed her mind after they each sent her a personal letter.
Mm.
Shirley Temple was the only celebrity to insist on hearing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band before giving the band permission to use her likeness on their album cover.
Wait a minute. Shirley Temple wanted to hear it first and then gave her permission?
Yeah. Yeah, but if you remember that album, there's just everybody.
I know.
In cartoon. But yeah, those two were holdouts.
But it was a great album.
It was a great album.
I mean...
Yeah, it was a great movie, too.
We all live in a yellow submarine.
This is going to be a show full of Joe singing.
Aren't you guys just so thrilled?
If you need to go wash the dishes or make your bed, you might want to.
I'm trying to boost ratings.
Yes. Oh, okay. Anyway, from Upjoke.
Okay.
Upjoke.com. If the Beatles were from Hawaii, what would they have called their song Hello, Goodbye?
Got me.
Hello, goodbye in Hawaiian.
Oh, aloha, aloha.
There you go.
Okay, I was about 30 seconds behind on that one.
So the theme for today is obvious.
Islands.
Yes, islands. Islands, that's it. Exactly. Islands where the Beatles live.
Did they ever really live?
Oh, they sure did. 55 years ago, they came to America and blew our minds.
Yeah, I seem to recall watching the Ed Sullivan Show and the little girls going, ah!
Yep.
I'm like, hey, shut up. You can't hear him sing. Down in front. Shut up. I want to listen to him.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
The British invasion had begun.
And I cannot do a British accent to save my life. So that's going to be you today, because this is as British as it gets. And if I try to get British, it turns out Irish.
Well, that's probably where I'm going to go today. I don't know.
Okay. You don't do British either?
Oh, sometimes I do, but, you know, sometimes it just drifts all over the place.
Okay.
Since I haven't been practicing.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay. So our curious saying or word of the day is Beatles.
Beatles.
Again, from Neetorama.
Cool.
Yeah.
How did the Beatles get their name? Okay, let's go back to Liverpool, England in the mid-1950s and then do some investigation. In 1960, reputedly, John and his best friend at art college, Stu Sutcliffe, came up with the name The Beatles. The story goes that the band loved Buddy Holly and his group, The Crickets. So the two went through several insect names before finally arriving on Beatles.
A praying mantises? What?
Yeah.
Stu thought of the Beatles with two E's. Like the bug. But then John, who loved puns and wordplay, thought of changing the spelling to Beatles, like beat, as they were a beat group. As John was later to elaborate in a 1964 interview, it was beat and Beatles when you said it. People thought of crawly things, but then when you read it, it was beat music.
Mm-hmm.
Not the things that you pull out of the ground.
Yeah.
The root vegetable. Okay.
Not the root.
Okay.
What's wrong with having a little bit of root? Yeah, man, down south, we like the road.
Anyway. That is not the English-British language.
Ironically, Paul recalls everyone telling the band what a lousy name Beatles was and urging them to change it. Paul himself says he remembers John and Stu running up to him and anxiously telling him how they had thought of the name The Beatles the previous night.
The John invented the Beatles name version was accepted for decades, but two other explanations were to surface after his death in 1980.
Bum, bum, bum.
In the 1995 documentary Beatles Anthology, George explained that the Beatles came from 1953 Marlon Brando's film, The Wild One. In this film, Brando plays a character called Johnny and his motorcycle gang called the Beatles.
Huh?
I don't know.
I don't remember that in that movie.
Marlon Brando, Johnny and the Beatles.
Okay.
Beatles, Johnny, get it? No. Mm. Okay.
This sounds good, except that the film The Wild One was banned in England until 1968. This would seem to disconnect us much after the fact.
Revisionist
theory. Duh. Oh, you said Viva la Revolution. Anyways, later on, an obscure beat poet named Royston Ellis came forth and claimed he had thought up the Beatles' name. Ellis has spent the night hanging out with John and his friend Stu in June of 1960. And the fact of this get-together is confirmed and undisputed. On the night in question, during a chat, Ellis asked John about his group's name, and John replied, "The Beatles." He asked John how he spelled it, and John said, "B-E-E-T-L-E-S."
According to Ellis, he thought of the changing of the spelling to B-E-A-T-L-E-S because he was a beat poet. Beatniks were the rage at the time, and John and Stu fancied themselves part of the beat scene.
Hmm.
Then, I love this one.
Okay.
John wrote a 1961 comical article for a local paper about how he came up with the name Beatles. He jokingly said, "It came in a vision. A man appeared on a Fleming pie and said unto them, 'From this day on, you are Beatles with an A.'" I can hear him say that.
She loves you, yeah.
I got a top 10 list.
And with a name like that. Anyways.
Top 10 list.
Which means?
9 things.
You know, you keep using that word top 10. I don't think you know the meaning thereof.
And then the website is called Top 5 List.
So top 5, we got 9, but we've got a top 10. All right.
Yeah.
Logical.
So these are the top 9 unpublished Beatles songs.
Oh,
and
cool.
I dare you to sing them.
Number 9. Got to get you off of my wife.
I can't sing this one because I've never heard of Polyethylene Pam Anderson.
Uh-huh. Number 7. Lucy in the Sky with Linus.
Number 6, Eleanor Furby.
Hey, but number 5 could actually work.
Yeah, it could.
All you need is rugs.
Or anything that starts with an R.
Yeah. It's rugby, man. All right.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I know how this one goes either. But she came in through the White House window. No, other cat sang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I don't remember that line.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
The Beatles consultant is sitting over here going, why don't you know
this? I just got the evil look. Number 3. Wyoming guitar gently fetches €150 at the auction.
Number 2. I want to hold you hands. That would be for my German coworkers.
Yeah, that'd be good. And then number 1, unpublished Beatles song.
She came in through John's fragile ego. That wouldn't be talking about anybody in particular, would it? No.
Mm-mm.
That person is not named in this show.
We can neither confirm nor deny the existence thereof of alter egos.
No. It took a long time to find a dumb criminals about the Beatles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Dumb criminals from dumbcriminals.com. Yeah. My parents always told me growing up, do what you love and the money will follow. Then the Beatles told me, you can't buy me love. Now I'm as confused as this fellow.
Are you confused as this fellow?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, confused.
Okay.
A federal firefighter in Idaho is facing arson charges linked to at least one blaze in an act that may have been motivated by a desire to produce some firefighting work.
Oh. Mm. Levi Miller, 21, in Lemhi County Jail, charged with starting an August 13th blaze on the outskirts of Salmon, an area of thick forest and natural beauty, officials said. The half-acre blaze was snuffed out quickly by fire crews.
Lemhi County Sheriff Sam Slavin said Miller, who has worked as a firefighter with the Federal Bureau of Land Management for 2 years, persuaded a Salmon team to start the August 13th fire to drum up business.
Quite a sad tale, but starting a fire because the business is slow is never meant. It's never really a smart answer, unless you operate a s'more store. Of course, this tragic tone raises suspicion about other professionals and what they could do to drum up business.
And that will be another show another time.
Oh, cool.
Because this article went on for quite a while talking about that.
But yeah, I mean, okay. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Next.
Story time.
Oh.
Story time from Medium.
Let me please tell me a story.
Okay. From Medium.com. This is about the song Can't Buy Me Love, which was released in 1964 and sold 1,520,000 copies.
You know, it always amazes me that when they say all the, like, you know, they come up with these rounded numbers.
Yeah.
You know, why can't it be 1,520 and 72?
Well, because my mom wouldn't let me go to the store and buy a song.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. You can listen to it on the radio and then tape it on your tape deck.
Oh, those fabulous recordings.
I'll make you a mixtape.
Do you know how many nights I used to sit down there and would remember when the midnight... what was that show called? The song show at night. It would come
Top
on
40.
The midnight special.
Oh, okay.
I would sit down with my tape recorder in front of the speakers, recording all of those arts.
Yeah.
And I bet you now they're trying to sell them for, you know, you can get 10 shows for $99.95, you know, from Time Life.
They probably weren't recorded on tape, though.
No.
No. You can get Joe's version for like 99 cents.
You know what those versions sound like today? Tape doesn't last 50 years, you know? Uh-huh. Anyways. Can't Buy Me Love, released in 1964. John and Paul wrote the songs for A Hard Day's Night, film and album, and three intense spells of music making. Interesting. The first happened when the four were staying at the George V Hotel in Paris, when a piano was brought into the room and they hammered out, If I Fell, I Should Have Known Better, and Can't Buy Me Love.
Paul McCartney always got bugged when people said the song was about a hooker. You can put any interpretation you want on anything, but when someone suggests that Can't Buy Me Love is about a prostitute, I draw the line, he said once. Or he once said. I think he said it probably more than once.
Probably.
Okay.
There were other firsts. It was one of the first pop songs to start with a chorus rather than a verse. In one of the first Beatles songs where only one member of the group sang, i.e. Paul McCartney.
Oh. Can't Buy Me Love was released in March 1964 and went on to number one in both the U.S. and the U.K.
Yeah. Hmm. There was some cool... I mean, of course, growing up in that era and then, you know, living music as I do, watching the Beatles transition from some of these early songs, which are very, for lack of a better term, platonic, into their weirdness.
You know? Yes. Much following your lifeline. You transitioned from the Beatles to the Dead in a rather short time.
Gratefully.
Or were the Dead... They're
about the same time.
Oh. Okay.
The Dead... Actually, the Beatles came out, but the Dead started... The pre-Dead were the early...
The pre-Dead?
Stage. Well, there was the Warlocks and a few other bands before the Dead actually formed. The Grateful Dead officially formed in, like, 1965.
Oh.
But they were over on the West Coast doing all kind of wonderful stuff before they came east for Woodstock. And Woodstock is what kind of blew them out of the water. And people start saying, wait a minute, there's this band that plays long sets and great music and...
Folks, we just segued into another show completely. Yeah. I was listening to, let's see, what was I listening to? Barry Manilow. Don't judge. Not in 1964. What was I listening?
I delivered pizza to him one time.
Really?
Yeah, I was down in Columbus working for Domino's Pizza South Campus, and he was playing on at Ohio State.
Wow, what did he have on his
pizza? I have no idea. Oh, I don't remember those days.
Great trip. Okay. Fast Facts from USAtoday.com.
Yes.
These are 50 fascinating facts you may not know about the Beatles.
Okay.
By John Harrington and Charles Stockdale.
24/7, Wall Street has compiled 50 fascinating facts from the most influential band ever, called from the music industry sites, media outlets, and reviews of books about the Beatles. Now, here are a few of the most interesting.
Yeah, because we're not doing 50.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
First one, vandals cut Ringo Starr's head off a topiary sculpture of the group in Liverpool, most likely because of the drummer's statements that he missed nothing about his hometown.
Ooh. U.S. music executives considered dubbing Over the Fab Four in 1964's A Hard Day's Night with American actors. Oh. They were concerned audiences would be unable to understand the Liverpudlian accents.
We learned.
Liverpudlian accents.
Liverpudlian. I'm not sure that word is the real word.
Yeah.
Anyway, fans were so relentless in stealing the Penny Lane street sign that Liverpool switched to painting the street name directly on buildings rather than replacing them.
Yeah, that was funny. The closest the group came to reunite live was the closest group. The closet. I'm like, they came out of the closet?
Joe.
All right, Vision. Yeah, the closest the group came to reuniting live was when Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr played Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band at Eric Clapton's wedding in 1979. Funny, John Lennon wasn't there.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The filmmakers behind Disney's 1967 The Jungle Book approached the Beatles about voicing a quartet of vultures in the animated film. The collaboration never came to fruition, with John Lennon supposedly telling their manager that Disney would be better off hiring Elvis Presley.
And yet, in the movie, they have a British accent, if you listen to the vulture.
The vulture, really?
Yes.
Oh.
That's funny.
Huh.
Following the release of the movie's Beatles, the booby... Following
Did you
the release,
need some more coffee?
I think maybe too much. Following the release of the Beatles movie, A Hard Day's Night, and Help, they conceived a new film project to star in a psychedelic adaptation of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings trilogy. To be directed by, Stanley Kubrick.
Oh.
The project never came to pass.
Wow. I have nothing to say about that.
Just the thought.
Psychedelic. Like, it's not already a little bit off the bubble?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Strawberry Fields was a Salvation Army children's home in Liverpool that has since been razed.
Oh. By the way, going back up to the last one, Lord of the Rings, did you ever read the trilogy called Board of the Rings?
No.
It's a sapphire of...
A sapphire?
It's a sapphire.
Are you sure it's not an opal?
It's a sapphire.
Maybe a ruby?
Oh, it's definitely
a
gem.
An emerald? Oh.
It's a sapphire. Just to give you, like, instead of Fido or Fildo or whatever you want to say, they call him Frito.
Oh.
And I'll leave it at that because Bilbo, you can only imagine. Anyways. Yes, you are correct. John Lennon's eyesight deteriorated so badly that he was legally blind as he got older.
A cornflakes breakfast cereal commercial he saw on television inspired John Lennon to write, "Good morning, good morning."
Wow. Isn't that plagiarism?
I don't know.
There's enough difference that would not be considered plagiarism. I've learned this because of my son. 1964, John Lennon insisted that African-American fans be allowed to sit anywhere they pleased at Beatles concert while the band was on tour in the South. Concert promoters quickly agreed.
Yay.
Bravo.
Bravo. Bravo, bravo. That might happen today. Can you even conceive of that? You're not white.
I can't listen
to the Beatles.
I can, because growing up, again, going back to the song genres and stuff like that, I was one of the few that crossed over and listened to everything.
Okay.
Even both country and Western. But anyways, a lot of the shows that I went to, we were mixed.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a Dead show and you had a lot of people of all colored skin. There was never a division, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And yet you go back to school or something like that, and people are like, hey, you listen to that stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and all this other.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, good for the Beatles.
No, I think that was pretty awesome.
This one's odd.
Okay.
It's kind of fun, though. The Semolina Pilchard mention in I Am the Walrus is a reference to a Scotland Yard drug squad detective, Norman Nobby Pilcher. Don't want to know why. Who led a midnight drug raid on John Lennon's London flat in October 1968. He targeted musicians Mick Jagger, Brian Jones, Eric Clapton, and Donovan prior to that.
Yeah. I wonder what Nobby means in English vernacular.
I don't know.
Beatles ballad Michelle, some of which is sung in French, was inspired by Paul McCartney's fondness for singing in made-up French at parties to pick up girls. Oh, Sean later told him that he should do something with that. Well, of course.
I'm sure he did lots of things with that.
Well, of course.
But I think he was referring to make it into a song.
It works for me. Okay. I kind of like it.
Okay.
Where's the wine?
Anyways. Got some jokes.
Cool.
Yeah. From Upjoke.
Upjoke.
Upjoke is fun. It's a fun website.
Just imagine it was called Down Joke. That wouldn't be a joke. Never mind. Upjoke.com.
Okay.
Hey, what are you doing over in that corner?
I smell Doc.
Doc?
I smell Doc.
What is Doc?
I don't know. What's Doc with you? Okay. Totally did not do that right. Okay. Whoops.
So.
Rob Walter. I apologize. So, I smell Up Dog.
What's up, dog? Up Doc.
What's up, Doc? Moving on from just jokes from Up Joke. Oh my gosh! Too bad we can't edit this thing. So the Beatles and their producer
why
George
would you want to? I mean, Martin, it's not the fun of what we do.
We're in the studio.
So the Beatles and their producer George Martin and we're in the studio.
I think I just said that there's an echo in here. Any ideas on how to end? Hey echo. Jude, John, nah.
George. Nah.
Ringo, nah.
George, nah.
Martin, nah.
Paul.
Perfect. I know. No.
A little Canadian humor.
Thank you.
We were up on a lake in Canada with the Boy Scouts, and one of my scout masters was coming across the lake, and he yells, hey, Joe, how did the Canadians come up with the word Canada? I don't know. He goes, see. A, N, A, D, A, Canada, A.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, folks.
I love that. What music didn't the Beatles invent?
I don't know.
Hip-hop. They weren't grasshoppers.
That's deeply disturbing, but deeply funny.
Yeah, I know. We're going to skip the next one because it's really, really long.
No.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Beatles or Stones, I asked my son. Why can't I just have something normal for dinner, he pleaded.
You know. Look, I knew back in the 80s when I went to college after being in the military for 10 years, 9 years. And we're sitting in the class, and one of the little girls sat down there and said, hey, did you know that Paul McCartney was in a band before the Wings?
Oh, God.
And I'm like, what?
You wanted to smack her.
No, I was just amazed that
poor child.
She has been so sheltered in her poor little life that she just found out.
Bringing about something.
Yeah.
This weekend, I want to see Yesterday.
This weekend you want to see Yesterday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like maybe tomorrow I want to see Yesterday.
Well, if you want to go tomorrow, that would be tomorrow, but that wouldn't be yesterday.
But tomorrow I would be in yesterday.
So tomorrow's future is today's reality?
No, there's a movie called Yesterday about the Beatles.
Oh, a movie.
I actually went through this almost identical to the conversation we just had really? With somebody the other day. And they learned yesterday. You want it? Yes. How you could? Yes. There's this wonderful movie.
Okay.
And it's as if the world never heard the Beatles. And this guy starts singing covers.
I remember seeing the.
Yeah. He starts singing covers and they just think he's the most amazing musician in the world. And so he struggles with, do I tell them that the Beatles used to exist? Or do I just take credit? And he tells them the Beatles used to exist, and they said, no, they didn't. So anyway, I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know how it ends, but yeah.
I you know what?
You fell right into that, Joe.
I know.
I love it.
I went right deep. What did the octopus say to his girlfriend at a Beatles concert?
I want to hold your hand. Hand. There's eight. Yeah.
A little slimy. Anyways. Or in my case, lunch. But anyways. Oh, octopus is good. Mm-hmm. Especially a little boiled in soy sauce with a little hot pepper and onion and lemon juice.
No, we used to have it in tomato sauce.
Yeah, that's okay.
On Christmas Eve, because if you're Italian, you eat fish on Christmas Eve, so we would have octopus or squid or whatever in tomato sauce.
Yeah, mostly squid, but I mean octopuses. Well, it was good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for the first drummer of the Beatles.
Why?
All he got was a stupid street named after him, while Ringo Starr got the love and the affection of tens of women.
Poor Ringo.
No, but Ringo was good for roller skating.
Ringo could roller skate?
No.
And how do we know that?
When we used to go roller skating on Friday and Saturday night,
uh-huh,
during the move-up dance,
uh-huh,
they would always say, she's 16, she's beautiful, and she's mine. And so in the roll-up dance, if you remember, when they blew the whistle, the guy would move up to the next girl. And so we got to meet many young ladies that way.
That was the first speed dating.
Kind of.
Yeah, speed skating dating.
Speed skating. You had literally 10 to 15 seconds, say, hi, how are you? And if the girl said, and he was like, okay, next.
So, what do you call the Russian version of the Beatles' Let It Be? So be it. Not the best Russian accent in the world, folks, but hey.
You're supposed to let Vladimir say this, so be it. But you're not, no, never mind.
No. Another top 10 list.
Okay.
Yeah, on page 10. From top5.com, and there are 15 Beatles songs, if they'd been recorded for Starbucks.
Oh, no.
Yes, 15, when I'm 64th in line.
Yeah. Roll over biscotti, number 14.
13, till there was brew. Yeah.
12, hey, Joe.
11, strawberry scones forever.
Number 10, Norwegian blend. This brew has foam.
9, Latte Madonna. Yeah.
Number 8, Latte Bloody Calf.
7, happiness is a warm non-fat mocha with an extra shot, some Madagascar cinnamon, and a nice scone.
Number 6, day twitcher.
5, she passed it through the drive-thru window.
Number 4, why don't we brew it in the road?
Number 3, a day in the line.
Number 2, living get chived.
And the number 1 Beatles song, if they'd been recorded for Starbucks.
$8 a drink. I love
that
you.
Is all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together.
We're the Fab Two?
No. Together we are
Cat Soup.
The best of internet humor on the radio and other places.
Have a great week, folks.